It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwin. Today we continue our special series, Early Signs, Reports from a Warming Planet. The series is a collaboration of the UC Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism, Salon.com, and Living on Earth to document places around the world where concerns about climate change are already having an impact. Today we turn to the people of the tiny Pacific island nation of Tuvalu, who've been vocal for years about the threat of climate change to their low-lying nation. At about 3 feet above sea level, the islands are expected to eventually disappear, drowned by a sea rising in response to global warming. Seeing themselves as climate refugees, some Tuvaluans are already leaving their islands, moving their communities to higher ground in a new land. Alexandra Berzon reports from New Zealand.
It's the biggest party of the year for one of the 9 islands that make up Tuvalu, Nanumea. The annual celebration of the day European missionaries brought Christianity to the island. Families gather on mats and feast picnic style on foods like funa funa, donuts filled with jam, and taro drenched in coconut milk, egg foo young, and buckets of KFC chicken. Then, competing groups of elders and youth take turns dancing, singing, and drumming on a big wooden box into the early hours of the morning, while onlookers stand up and announce jokingly which group they liked best.
That man should say that he prefers the youth, but the old lady said that she prefers the oldies.
Tuvaluans have been performing these songs for generations across their string of low coral atolls. But this event is not taking place in Tuvalu. Instead, we're 2,000 miles away in Auckland, New Zealand. And here, surrounded by tradition, sits a group of young girls looking unimpressed.
What's your name?
Allie. What's your name?
Amy.
You, Amy.
Nice to meet you, Ellie.
Amy is 7. Her favorite song is My Humps by the Black Eyed Peas.
The boys that want to sex me, they're always trying to next to me, trying to feel my hump, hump, looking at my lum, lum. You can touch it if you touch it, if you touch it, oh my, not some drama. You want my man, boy, I'm just trying to dance, boy, and move my hump.
Here in this West Auckland suburb where many Tuvaluans have settled, you won't find an ocean outside the door, coconut trees on the shore, or taro in every garden. You're more likely to encounter malls and wide boulevards. Over the last decade, the islanders have come here for many reasons. Better jobs, college, overcrowding on the islands, and to escape what many see as a threat of sea level rise caused by global warming.
That's me prepared a breakfast every morning, and that's for my family.
Penasita Daniela arrived in New Zealand with a small suitcase and a carton of fish. He lives now in the western working-class suburb Ranui in a 3-bedroom home with his wife, children, father, stepmother, and sisters. Penny's living room, like most Tuvaluan homes, contains no furniture, just hand-woven straw mats that his father and stepmom sleep on. Shell necklaces and family photos line the walls. As Penny fries pancakes on a leisurely Saturday morning, his 2 young kids ride around the living room on a shiny new bike with a squawk box. Nearly 20 years ago, when Penny was just a teenager living on his family's land, he remembers hearing that someday the sea would rise and drown his island.
Just my dad said, oh, don't worry about that. We are just waiting for many years, not now.
But over time, Penny and his family noticed changes. High tides getting higher, beaches eroding, water coming up through the soil. Here's his father, Talaki Daniela.
As I was a kid, we used to play on the beach and we've seen the high tide and all that. But in recent years, high tide gone over beyond what it used to be. So I said to myself, yes, the scientists are really telling the truth. I managed to build 2 houses there. I just got up and go and left it behind to my family there.
Gauges in Tuvalu indicate the sea has risen an average of 5.5 milliliters per year in recent years. That's consistent with average worldwide sea level rise. But scientists say there are also other local explanations, natural and human-caused, for the changes islanders have observed. The greater worry, though, is for the future. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which represents the consensus of 2,000 scientists, predicts that over the next 50 to 100 years, global warming will cause oceans to rise up to 3 feet, and possibly much higher, depending on the melting of the Antarctic and Greenland ice sheets. Tuvalu, along with a handful of other islands, is particularly vulnerable because its islands are low-lying and narrow, no more than 3 feet high in many spots. Some New Zealand scientists argue that because islands are not static lumps of dirt, they will shift with the tides and naturally build themselves up further to withstand a rising ocean. But even those who believe this, and their view meets skepticism from other scientists, but even they say the islands will probably become uninhabitable. And for many Tuvaluans, this is not a risk they're willing to take.
No, I don't want to get up in the morning and find myself underwater.
After breakfast, Penny squats in front of his 12-inch television and searches through piles of old VHS tapes. He inserts a video his father took years ago of a dance performance in Tuvalu and stares at the screen, his 1 and 2-year-olds bang on their bike in time with the drummers from the island.
I showed my kid that movie from Tuvalu and say, oh, Tuvalu, Tuvalu, where's Tuvalu? They don't know where's Tuvalu. I say, maybe they will go there one time. Maybe one day we go there and see the island. Yeah.
Penny's father lies on the floor next to the baby. He says moving to New Zealand can be a hard adjustment.
When I was young, I was told that there are 2 main things you have to learn if you want to live in Tuvalu: how to climb the coconut tree and how to fish. If you know these 2, you will live. In New Zealand now, you have to have an income. It's a very challenging place. Everything you do, it costs you money.
Though in a way, he was driven out, most of the time Mr. Daniela looks forward instead of back. He's pleased to have started a business last year that finds temporary migrant labor for New Zealand companies. His son Penny, like many Tuvaluans, started out in Auckland's strawberry fields and packing plants. Hidden behind a dress shop and ice cream parlor, the corrugated metal plant has become a Tuvaluan community hub, a site of lively singing and chatter.
I meet my friends here and all the Tuvaluan lady here.
Here, women sit behind tiny desks, rapidly sorting through strawberries, putting the good ones in plastic containers and throwing the bad down a chute into a pile that will become jam. Dr. Lena Kofi is wearing a red sarong over black sweatpants with a pink flower in her hair. She's been working in the fields in the morning and packing berries in the afternoon.
Most people at home, they are aware of the problem. They know that the sea level is rising. It's just a matter of knowing people here in New Zealand to come to. We love our island. I'm sad to leave Tuvalu and come here, but we have to do it because, you know, for our own safety and that of our kids.
On Sundays, the Congregation Christian Church of Tuvalu gathers to recite verse and sing hymns beneath framed photos of middle-aged white men in this rented Lions Club hall. In 1998, Reverend Sumalia Yosefa came to New Zealand to set up the Auckland branch of the church. He is 48 but has the aura of a much older man, an elder. He spreads himself thin, attending meeting after meeting to try to better the community and feels some responsibility for preserving Tuvaluan culture here.
Teaching the children, you know, in Sunday school, in the language, our services in the language. But the younger children, you know, they speak fluent English, you know, not like us.
Falilo Tamayo is exiting the service after giving a brief sermon as the vacuum cleaner scoops up the candy wrappers the children left behind. He came to New Zealand just a month ago and is quick to point out that his move had nothing to do with sea level rise.
I just want to migrate, No threatening reason.
Like some religious Tuvaluans, Falilo doesn't believe in global warming because he doesn't think God would ever let anything bad happen to Tuvalu.
I don't believe that Tuvalu will submerge. No, we do adhere to our religious, you know, belief that God will help, you know, the people in their country, Tuvalu.
But Tuvaluans are of many views. Reverend Sumalia says God and science are speaking with one voice, issuing a warning that humans must follow.
But no one listened, because God said, build the ark. But do we listen? And I think the church has to have that understanding more of science and more of what the world is all about.
He gives the example of a Tuvaluan who has come to New Zealand without learning the rules of the road and then blames God when he gets hit by a car crossing the street.
And then people said, God has taken him. No, he's not a silly God. But it's you who is silly, who doesn't know the rules. And you were hit by the car on the road.
New FM, the home of Pacific cultures, languages, views, music, and our Pacific people.
Salapakoi, join me, Falahalang in the Tuvaluan crew every week, where we bring you news from Tuvalu, we talk about what's going on with our Tuvaluan communities.
Falahalangi's weekly radio show has become a venue for these differing views, a place to discuss the hot-button issues and the lighter fare.
My very dedicated listeners,
she is a union organizer by day with a wild tuft of highlighted hair and over-the-top hand gestures. We talked at a Starbucks in a West Auckland mall.
What really concerns me, because like at the end of the day, I may be a Kiwi now, I call myself a Kiwi because I'm living in New Zealand, but hey, people will still look at my car and go, hey, where are you from? Which island? And I'll say, I'm from Tuvalu. And then they'll say, and where is that? What shall I say? Oh, it has disappeared or submerged under the sea because of global warming. So like, that's our identity and culture, and everything will disappear. We may get together here as a community to celebrate when it's Independence Day or our successes or things, but it's different. Definitely, it's going to be really hard for us to accept the fact that we are no longer on the map. And it's no joke.
Fala and Sumalia, along with international environmental activists, argue that Tuvaluans and others in a similar predicament should be treated like refugees and given immigration rights and other refugee benefits. This tiny nation was among the first on the globe to sound the alarm, trekking from forum to forum to try to get the world to listen. New Zealand did agree to take 75 Tuvaluans a year as part of its Pacific Access category, an agreement made in 2001. Koloa Talaki knows all about this. He was Prime Minister of Tuvalu at the time.
See, you can see the sea from here.
Mr. Talaki now lives across from the beach on a remote peninsula north of Auckland. He says that the decision to make it easier for his own citizens to move away from his country was difficult but necessary.
Eventually, there will be no place for the poor people to live except climbing up the coconut trees and live on the top. And I thought that we should take precautionary action before D-Day arrives.
And now that Tuvaluans are living in New Zealand, they're beginning to have a voice here, too.
My name's Chris Carter. I'm the Member of Parliament. I represent perhaps the largest number of Tuvalu people in the Parliament because the majority of the community live here in West Auckland. The government recognises very much that Tuvalu, particularly being an atoll state, is very vulnerable to climate change and to rising sea levels. In fact, our Prime Minister has told the Prime Minister of Tuvalu that if the worst comes to the worst, we will take the entire community. All I can say is that there is an understanding between our two governments that New Zealand will respond to the needs of Tuvalu if the circumstances become critical. And how could we not?
That agreement to take the entire population if there's an environmental crisis is unofficial and unenforceable. And to some politicians, including Minister of Parliament Peta Peroni of the New Zealand First Party, it is the wrong policy for New Zealand.
That responsibility shouldn't just fall on New Zealand. Tuvaluans need to be aware that there are other nations in the Pacific Basin just as well accommodate them, probably even better than we can.
And now, the current Tuvalu government says this disagreement doesn't matter because finding a place for refugees doesn't address the underlying problem.
I think these things are quick-fix approaches.
That's Enele Sobuaga, Tuvalu's ambassador to the United Nations.
And we're just running away from the problem. Tuvaluans want to live in their own islands forever. This is a global problem, and all of the low-lying coastal areas are going to be affected. Now, you tell me whether the world is ready to evacuate everybody and relocate them. There is a chance to reverse and address climate change, and I think the world should focus on that.
The day after the feast celebrating the coming of the missionaries, Nanumeans gather bleary-eyed at a beach party up the coast. Teenagers and 20-somethings in last night's sarongs play traditional games, including more nuanced forms of duck-duck-goose and volleyball. The older people lie out on mats and eat last night's food. One family sings a Tuvaluan song about the island's only ship, a gift from the Japanese government. Seven-year-old Amy runs from the waves.
I just asked my auntie and she said yes, and so I just went. I'm cold.
This party might be a close approximation of daily life in Tuvalu, but here in Auckland, it's just a holiday. Silo Temuana is washing the sand out of her thick hair. She believes reports that say the sea could overtake the islands, but she just can't fathom a world without Tuvalu in it.
It's unthinkable. I never thought of that. I never thought of that. Because in my mind, it's going to be there forever. You
know? For Living on Earth, this is Alexandra Berzon.
Next week, our series Early Signs, Reports from a Warming Planet, continues with a trek up the Ecuadorian mountain known as Mama Cotacachi. For centuries, the mountain has worn a glacial cap of ice and snow that's fed the region's rivers. But now, the glacier is gone.
I remember when I was little, water flowed right by here. Now it's all dried up. Everything is dry, 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 like a desert. It's really bad here.
Early Signs is a collaboration of the UC Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism, Salon.com, and Living on Earth. To read a print version of the story of the Tuvalu climate refugees and see photos of their life in New Zealand, visit our website, livingonearth.org. That's livingonearth.org.